Mr. Mike Hall, Reel 2. Now, we've got the point where we think it's May 1942,
yes.
That you go to Burniston, near Derby. Now, this is to an elementary flying training school. Do you know what number it was? They can look at it.
16. And 16 EFTS.
And what do you remember about your reception when you arrived there? It's just outside, it's not far from Derby.
Actually, we went to our billets, which was Repton School.
The public school?
Public school.
What were the billets like there?
Oh, they were pretty... They were basic, but they were obviously the same way the boys slept, so they were fine in every other.
Were the boys still there?
No. No, no more.
So was it entirely devoted to you?
Yeah.
Was it so fairly comfortable?
It was, yes. Enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
Now, you went there in May... How did this start? What basically starts your training off there?
Well, we were bused each day from the school to the airfield, and obviously there were initial lectures on what goes on.
Just introduce more of these theoretical.
Yes, lectures. That's right. And then we were introduced to our instructor. Very nice Scottish chap I had. He was a flight sergeant.
It's Menzies?
Menzies, I think they pronounce it.
Now, what were your first impressions of your instructor? Because your instructor's going to be very...
He was...
He could make a break, you
know, yes.
Especially after you.
That's right.
You as well.
Yes. No, he was very... He was a dour Scot, if they don't mind me saying. He was very pleasant. Nothing... No bullying, you know, very patient.
And he knew his stuff, did he?
He knew his stuff, yes.
Now, how did they start then? Because we want to go through the whole, as much as you remember, and it's 60-odd years ago.
Yes.
So, you know, but what do you remember of your flying training? How did they start it?
Well, obviously, to start with, you went up and he showed you more or less various exercises. And probably on the second day, he'd say, right,
that would be your first flight, wouldn't
that would
it?
Be my first flight.
Now, what did you think of your first flight? I mean, you know...
Oh, it was great. Absolutely great.
You enjoyed it as much as you thought?
Yes.
What was so good about flying,
You know, when you were up there in control of something that... you've got a different view of the world beneath, it really was enjoyable.
Now, what aircraft were you using?
A Miles Magister.
So not the Tiger Moth?
No.
Now, what was the Miles Magister like? Could you give us a sort of, as if we'd never seen or heard one?
No.
Could you just give us a quick description of what it was like?
It was a single-winged aircraft. Dual-controlled, you know, front and rear.
And which would you be in as a pupil, the front or the rear?
You were in the...
It says you'd be in the front.
Yes.
Is that how you remember?
Yes, that's right.
I know it's a bit different. We've had a bit of trouble sorting that out.
Yes. No, it was a lovely little aircraft.
Maneuverable?
Yes. Wonderful.
Could you take us through the basic controls of an aircraft? And so what did you have? I mean, start perhaps with the joystick.
Obviously.
What did that do?
Well, that controlled your the whole movements, whether you're turning left, right, or... Up and down. Up and down, you moved the stick straight forward, but if to turn, you moved it to the side. Plus your feet controls.
The rudder.
The rudder.
And what
it's quite simple, really.
Was that it for the controls? Mm. Now, what about instruments?
Instruments. Obviously the speed indicator. Your flight, in a level flight, whether you were one wing low or one wing high, whatever. Nothing really complicated. And obviously, for the engine, you know, the oil pressures and things like that. And, yes, that's about it.
Now, how did he start with his dual instruction? What sort of exercises did he put in you through?
Well, level flight, obviously, and the turnings.
How about takeoff and landings?
Takeoff and landings. Yes, we did quite a few of those.
Do they still call them circuits and bumps?
Yes, they do. Circuits and bumps. Not too many bumps.
And how were you taking to it?
In my opinion, I took to it very well. As I said before, I didn't have a driving lesson, but I picked it up on a lorry or a 1500 weight truck very easily.
So you had hand-eye coordination,
yeah.
not afraid of mechanical.
No.
Now, so when your first solo seems to be on the 12th of June.
After that 10 hours.
Which is quite low. What do you remember of your first solo? Was it a sort of real experience?
It was elation. It really was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. To think that there was I up there with this machine, flying it myself.
Any problems?
No. We had to do one circuit of the airfield that came in. You obviously had a test from the chief instructor before you went on solo, and he was satisfied that I was all right, so off I went.
And then what would happen then?
And then after that, you would do probably another bit of practice, and he'd say, right, now I want you to go up and do this exercise and that exercise.
Can we look at the sort of various things you would learn? What were the skills involved in landing then? You know, I mean, how did you manage? Were you good at landing? Yeah. It's a key part.
It is, yes. It's a lot easier, of course, than with a glider, because you've got, if you're a bit far away from the airfield, you just use the old engine to get there. No, I didn't have any problems at all.
What about with aerobatics, the various things? Spinning loops?
Yes, I wasn't all that keen on those, but one had to do them.
Why weren't you keen? What didn't you like?
Well, I thought, I'm not going to kill myself. The worst one was the stalling, where you had to go practically vertical. And of course, then you stalled. You just flipped over quickly, nose down, spinning like a top. And that's when you had to apply the right rudder and everything to bring it out of the spin and pull it level out. I didn't like doing that very much. I thought, this is a bit silly.
But you managed it.
But I managed it, yes. And a bit of formation flying, cross country.
What was formation flying then?
Well, I suppose you had a one each, you know, like they do formation flying with the V thing, with one each side, and just to.
Did you find it difficult to maintain position?
No, not really. No.
No,
they were very easy planes to fly.
What about cross country flight? That's practically navigation, I suppose.
Yeah.
What were they like? What was a typical cross country flight like?
When I think back of it, I think, how on earth did I do that? It was a triangular course. You had to, you took off from Derby, and they gave you two airfields to land at, where you had to go in and report. It turned out all right. I did it quite well, no problems. I did get back to base.
Were you using proper navigation and sort of working out the wind speed and the drift, or were you just looking at the railway line?
Oh no, you had to use what instruments you've got.
So you weren't allowed just to...
No.
Now, what about the theoretical? Was the theoretical lectures business still going on the ground?
Yes, yes. You had... theory of flight was the most thing. But they were quite good.
Could you follow them? Or were they at the right academic level for you all?
They were for me. Although I didn't come top in every one. I think I was told that I was the only one that passed everything first go, but whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I passed, let me put it that way.
What about night flights? You start them in August.
Yes, they were interesting, Chris.
Tell us about them.
That was obviously with the instructor. Being near Derby, of course, it was a bit scary, because the Luftwaffe liked the Rolls Royce factory there. So as soon as a raid came on, down we had to come.
Being, they switched the airfield lights off.
Being a basic airfield, it was only a grass airfield, and no tarmac runways, and the flare, landing part was flares, paraffin flares.
That was it.
So they had to put those out pretty quickly. As soon as everybody was back, down they went.
Was the airfield bombed at all?
No.
Just Derby, the
Rolls Royce. It was only a small grass-covered airfield.
Now, another thing that's mentioned is the Link trainer. Now, the Link trainer is quite well known, but a lot of people don't understand what it is. Can you just explain?
Well, a Link trainer imitates a flight. You're in like a cockpit of an aircraft, and you have a screen in front of you, so that you see what you're doing and you're coming into land and all that thing. It really gives you blind flying.
Was it realistic?
Yes, because the machine used to rock about. I think the present ones of them are far more sophisticated than the ones we had.
And did you actually do blind flying when you were up there?
Yes.
Tell me about.
Yes. Yes, because the front cockpit had a hood. You know, that came over, and you got nothing but your instruments. And this was done. It wasn't done at night. We did that during the day with the instructor, obviously, at the back, because you wouldn't do it otherwise. And if he thought you were all right, if he didn't, he told you off.
So you just had to use your instruments. You couldn't see out of the.
No, that's the whole thing.
So you
had to keep the level flight, you know, indicator and.
And again, you had no trouble.
No.
Now, what about recreations? I mean, because this is quite a stressful time. What would you do in the evening, or was there anything organised?
Well, you'd got to do a certain bit of studying. We went into Derby, obviously, now and again. But the chap at the school at Repton, he was a very fastidious boffin. Wingless Wonder, we called him. You know. Absolutely fastidious about it. He'd come round and inspect the billets and things. I remember on one occasion, these old dormitories at the school had very high ceilings and beams, you know. And he would get up on a table and put his finger along the beam to see if it was dusted or that kind of thing.
Would you have to spend a lot of time getting ready for a room inspection?
Oh, you had to be pretty good with this chap. But on the other hand...
What about kit? Would you inspect that as well?
Yes, oh yes. Well, you had to lay your kit out on the bed in the right manner. But he was very keen on cricket, this chap. And of course, having lovely playing fields at the school, we did have quite some nice periods of cricket.
Now, so how were you finally assessed then?
Well, you had to pass the exams on the various subjects, and if you passed, that was fine. Your instructor and the chief flying instructor tested you, and that was it.
And that was in August, so did that, from the looks
yes,
of things. Yeah. Half of August finishes.
Not a short course, yes. Some didn't pass, obviously.
Do you know what the pass rate was?
I don't know. I think it was fairly high.
Now, so... You then go back to Tailshead. Anything happening at Tailshead?
No, we were given our wings.
You promoted to sergeant?
Promoted to sergeant.
Now, did that make a difference?
Well, money-wise, to a degree. Nothing violent, but it was all very welcome.
So, you're really just going back to Tailshead before you go to the next place, aren't you? Which you
yes.
go to in September.
But we went off on leave. After getting our wings and things. Then we came back, and you then had to go on to the actual gliders.
And where did you do that training with?
I did that... He says, don't get old, your memory goes.
Well, it says here...
Western on the Green.
And that was number two glider training
unit. Glider training unit.
And where is Western on the Green?
That is near... Oh, dear, what's the name of the
place?
Bicester. Bicester, in Oxford.
Oxfordshire, yeah.
There again, it was just an ordinary grass-covered...
And you went there in September 42.
September 42, onto the little Hotspur.
Now, what was the Hotspur like? Can you describe it? It's not as well known as the Horser.
Well, no, because it was never used. It was like a cigar-shaped aircraft, very neat little thing. It carried about seven men if you wanted them, but it was just a trainer, really. That was...
What controls and instruments did it have?
Well, that had the level flight and airspeed, obviously. But apart from that, very little.
Was it easy to fly?
It was easy to fly. Of course, the main thing was the landing. Knowing when, the crucial thing.
Let's run through it. So what was a takeoff like? Do you see what I mean? Because obviously it's completely different.
We were towed by a Miles Master, which was the bigger version of the Magister. Obviously, if you weren't careful, it got a bit bumpy because it was only a skid underneath. But once you were airborne, it was fine, and you just...
Was there any skills? I mean, would you take off before it, or?
Yes. You always took off before the tug. And
would you have to be careful not to go too high?
Yes.
While it's taking off.
Keeping station behind the tug was very important. Either to the left or, well, any time, left or the right, or if you went too high, you'd pull his tail up and down he would go.
Station
was very important.
What was the tow position you'd normally adopt?
Normally, it was just above their slipstream.
So right, the high?
Yes.
The high towing position?
Yeah.
And that would be the one you molded. Was there a low towing position?
There was a low tow, if necessary.
People ever use that? People never seem to use it?
Not really. You had to go through the slipstream, his slipstream, which shook your aircraft a bit, but it was quite safe. But that was very rarely used.
So then you'd be cast off, they'd cast you off, would they? No. You'd cast off.
The golden rule, the glider casts off.
So how'd you cast off?
Well, you just pulled a lever and the tow rope fell away. And he dropped it in a designated place. He would go off and drop the rope.
Now, what are the skills of landing without an engine, which, of course, you hadn't got?
Well, they weren't much different to, as far as the landing goes, the skill was in judging your distance as to when to pull off, having in mind your height and how far you were from the airfield. That was the really critical thing. So just practice made perfect at 9 times out of 10, or 99 times out of 100 anyway.
Now, there's one incident where you had a bit of trouble with a tug pilot who was not in a good mood.
He wasn't.
That's an unusual story. Tell us the story.
Well, it was late in the afternoon and he'd obviously got a date with a WAF. And he was told to take me up. And he took me up quite a height, I can't remember exactly what it was. In amongst all these cumulus clouds, which are these great big white clouds you see in the thing. And he dived in and around these clouds, not caring about the poor old fellow at the back with his glider. Some really steep turns and things. But one, it was actually, I suppose it turned out to be good practice.
Is it difficult to keep station when people are doing that sort of thing?
You had to be pretty well on the ball, yes. But it turned out all right. I wasn't, I didn't mind really.
Now, you had a fatality. Tell me about that. What happened? I mean, how did he manage to kill himself? Did he kill the instructor as well? Or what happened?
Well, that I don't know, because we from Western, there was another small airfield that some of them went to. And... we just heard that they'd had a crash, but what had happened, I've no idea.
Did it worry you, or did it?
No, not really. Not really. Because there had been one or two crashes at Derby. On one occasion, a couple of Air Force chaps were messing about in the moth, and they did something they shouldn't do, and they went in.
Did it make you more careful, or did it have any effect?
No, I don't remember it playing on my mind or anything like that.
Now, what about your first glider solo? That was on the 8th of April.
Yes. Well, that actually, it didn't take very
long. Hang on, that's a long time away. This was a longer course then, was it? That's a wrong date, that is.
Maybe.
I don't think it can be 8th, because you pass out the course in October, so that's just obviously wrong. Well, do you remember the first solo?
Yes, that's wrong. Not particularly, not as much as I do the powder at Derby, because it was very, we didn't have a lot of training on the gliders before you went solo.
You just put April, what do you mean?
Yes.
October, so that's all it is there. But nothing happened on that.
No.
Now, how long was it before you became more confident on the Hotspur?
Pretty well straight away.
So you were there until anything else about your course there? Recreation? You seem to have just gone to the pub.
No, we used to go into Bicester, or we used to go into Oxford. Probably go home at the weekend. But something that shows what's different today, we used to, because of the distance between our billets and the airfield, we were issued with bicycles. And we used to cycle into Oxford on the weekend, leave our bikes at the station, not locked up or anything, but you knew they'd be there when you got back. You daren't do anything like that these days.
And would you go to the pub or the cinema? I mean, did you drink?
No, not a lot. I wasn't a great drinker.
So, social, a couple of pints, not even that.
I wasn't very keen on beer, actually. So, but I'm a drink, you know, just to be sociable.
So you just have a...
We used to go into Bicester. Found a very nice little restaurant, cinema.
How did you get on with the locals? Well,
oh yes, no, never had any problem with any wherever we were.
Now, then in the back end of October, 26th of October, you returned to Tilshead. Now that might be when you got your sergeant stripes, from the looks of this. Or was it before when you got your part?
Well, if it says that.
What about the red beret? Was the red beret important?
Yes, it was very nice. Well, before that, being in an Irish regiment, they used to wear what they called the corbeen, which was a great big thing with a feather sticking at the top. I hated it because I was such an idiot. No, it was very nice to get the red beret.
So you'd wear it with pride, as they say.
Yes. Yeah.
So you then go back to Tilshead and then on to Bulford.
Yes. That was all right. Nothing special about
it. What were you doing at Bulford?
Revision, I think, on various subjects.
So not particularly anything happening?
No.
So that would be November. How long were you at Bulford?
To Bryce Norton.
Bryce Norton, sorry.
Not all that long. But Bryce Norton is still there, it's very important. It was a permanent station then.
Now, this is the heavy glide conversion unit,
yes.
Bryce Norton. You do your first flight on the 1st of December, so you must have gone there in November. So that sorts that out for us. What were you doing? This is where you're going to learn to fly the Horser, isn't it?
That's
the
right.
Airspeed Horser.
Yep.
Now, what can you give us an idea of what the Horser is? It's a model of it there, of course, that we're looking at. Now, tell me what the Horser was like as a glider.
Size-wise, it was to us it was enormous, because it would take 28 men, fully armed men, a jeep or a gun. You know, it was altogether different. But it was such a beautiful aircraft to fly.
In what way?
Well, I suppose it must have been its design, but you could nearly come down like a lift, which was the idea, of course, in operations, because you've got a field to land on. And the controls were excellent. Very large flaps, which made you to come down, and then you just pull out before you landed. It had other instruments. Obviously, we had air bottles to work the flaps and the...
What do you mean by air bottles? Can you explain that a bit?
Well, you know, compressed air.
So that powered...
That powered the flaps and the controls, made the controls easier. You know, the ailerons. That was the... That was the other than that, that, it was just the same as the ordinary saw grinder.
Was it better than the Hotspur?
Oh, it was altogether different in the size, yes. But it was easy to fly.
Now, anything you remember about your training? Because it's only you're only there till for the month.
Mm-hmm.
It ends just before Christmas.
Once again, the transfer from the Hotspur to the Hawser was very short.
Now, one thing about this is that this is where you get the thing of first and second pilots. Now, were you training as a first pilot or a second pilot, or were you training as a second pilot and become a pilot?
No,
what were you training
As a first pilot. At first, it was only first pilots. Then they realised that they'd have to do something other than train everybody up to first pilot. So they started training second pilots at a lesser degree.
You were all trained as first pilots.
Yes.
Would you act as second pilot during the training? But you were being
Rise.
Trained as a first pilot.
Yeah, at Rise.
Because that's quite important. Because later on, there was a separate.
That's right. Yep.
And. Any problems that you encountered during your training?
No, I didn't have any trouble there. It was a really nice station. I thoroughly enjoyed it there.
Now, where did you go then? What do you remember next? You seem to go to Bournemouth, to Herne.
We went to Herne. Herne, near Bournemouth?
Yeah, you go there in January.
That was great.
What were you doing there? Which unit's there? I don't know, I've not heard of Bournemouth.
Don't you? No. But it was Hawser, again.
What was the name of the unit?
No, I don't think it did. If it did have a name, I can't remember.
What were you doing there?
We
just
did a bit of...
Flying the Hawser?
Just flying the Hawser, going into Bournemouth, which was very nice. Quite a bit of actual flying.
Now, what were you actually doing? Did you have duties or... I mean, were you with a squadron, or what was happening?
No,
sure.
Thinking back, I just wondered why we were there. No, we may have done a bit of ferrying, but then a lot of that came later.
But it's all about ferrying gliders from station to station. I mean, were you doing that then, or is that later?
That's later. That's when we went to... I was at Blakehill. Later. Now, I'm afraid of them. I had too many pleasant memories of Bournemouth to remember the other things.
That's girls and having a good time in Bournemouth.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now, what about the one thing that is interesting? You have a training, a sea survival exercise. Tell us about that.
Into Bournemouth, where we had these flying suits, which were quite heavy. You may have seen pictures of the RAF in there, but not these short leather jackets.
Let's do that first. Tell me what was the flying kit?
Well, it was this full length suit, top to toe. With various pockets for this, that, and the other.
Fur collar.
And we were taken into the local swimming pool, fully kitted out, and we just had to jump in. To say, you know, to practice getting out of water, or surviving in water, in case you came down over the sea or something like that.
Were you all right?
I managed all right.
So So no difference.
No.